Bibles turn to Jeremiah chapter 18 this morning. Just a few moments of time, but thank God for the experience and the time to go. And though we're tired in body, it was a wonderful experience. It was a good kind of tired for working and doing what the Lord would have us to do. And just amazing. And I was studying last night there, and Linda called and asked me. She was supposed to teach Sunday school this morning. And she, and of course, her backup, Stephen, was gone. And she didn't know what to do, so I told her I'd take it. And sometimes I take stuff on that I try to find somebody else to do. But the Lord took care of Sunday school and blessed it and things. And I thank Him for watching over us and protecting us, give us a safe journey up there and back, and for just what He's done and able to do in our lives. And in Jeremiah chapter 18, I'm thankful, as I was thinking about this morning, the clay that we are made out of, as God made Adam out of the clay of the earth, breathed life into him. And I'm glad that he was able to take the rib from Adam's side and create woman, a helpmate for Adam. But I thank God that he doesn't throw the clay away, that he continues to work on us and mold us and shapes us. Yesterday was another part of the molding process for those that were able to go and to be able to be part of that. Maybe you went before, but it's always good to get back and realize the work that the church is doing and involved in, to encourage us to keep going on, not to get weary in well-doing, and know that God is still molding us and shaping us every day. And everything that we do and every life that we touch, we're molding and shaping someone else as their life may be affected by ours. Remember, no man is an island unto himself. We don't go through this life and not touch someone else's life or affect an outcome that might be for their life, whether it's that they see that we're a strong Christian, that our faith doesn't waver, that we get stronger with age and our walk with God, and see that God still molds us and shapes us every day. I'm thankful that I'm still upon the potter's wheel and that He is still molding me and using me and making me into the vessel that I need to be. This vessel is weak in the flesh, but I'm thankful through God's shaping, He makes it stronger. And I was watching the other day, I don't know if you ever watch a show called How It's Made. It's on the TV there, and it shows all these different things that go on. And they were showing them make aluminum bottles on there. And they'd take a little piece of aluminum. It looked like it was about that big around, maybe a quarter to 3/8 of an inch thick. And they'd take that thing and they'd put it in a die machine. And he'd come in there and he'd hit it, and that aluminum would just go around that die, and it would make a bottle. And then they had another process. They made the neck on it. I've never seen any of these bottles around here, but they showed them going through that process and how it would mold and shape and how it would become what they were making it to be. And I thought, over time, sometimes the pressure of life molds us and shapes us into the things that we need to be, but we're still on God's pottery wheel as He's molding us and making us. The pressures that He allows to work on us are those things that He uses as tools and instruments to change our life and to make it fit the vessel that He needs it to be. Because I was talking there the other day with Jimmy Gillespie at the funeral, and he used to be one of my Sunday school teachers a long time ago there at Mount Carmel, and different ones there. And I said, "Did you ever believe when I was a youngster running around Mount Carmel that I'd ever been a preacher?" He said, "No." He said, "Actually, I told Patsy after you announced your calling that I couldn't believe you was up there." He said, "That's just God, and that's the way it is. It's just God, because He molds us and He makes us in to what we need to be. He changes our vessel to fit the need and purpose that He has for it." And I thank God for those that don't fold under the pressure of the molding hand of God. And if we do, then thank God He doesn't throw that project away. He just puts it back on the wheel and starts over again to make us into what we need to be. And I thank God for that. Chapter 18 this morning of Jeremiah says, "The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words." Let me tell you, that's one thing I'd encourage you to do on Sunday morning, is make it down to the potter's house. That's the house of God, that we come into His house, that we're ready and willing to get up on the potter's wheel, that we might be able to hear the words of God, that God might be able to impress upon our life and mold us and shape us and make us into what we need to be able to be a Christian that can serve Him and serve others. I'm glad that He wants us to serve and worship Him, but I'm glad He also puts a love in our heart that we want to serve and help others in this walk of life, that we're not just there to be looked upon. Maybe you might look at this water pitcher. I've had this thing for several years now, and God's blessed it and it ain't got broke. because I tell you, every once in a while it's got hit, it's got knocked over just a little bit, but I thank God that it ain't never been broken. But let me tell you, sometimes our vessel is a little bit broken because we get knocked over by the things of life. Satan comes on us and tries to kick us and keep us down. But let me tell you, well, I might be a little cracked, but I thank God that He's able to repair those cracks and make me back into what I need to be. I know there's probably been people that said that I was cracked and my cheese had slipped off my cracker a long time ago, but I'm just going to serve God and keep on going for Him because I'm on the potter's wheel. Thank God I'll go back down to the potter's house and I'll hear the words of God this morning. And that's what we need. We need the words of God heard across America. We need the words of God heard across this world. Sometimes we get so, and I thank God for our mission fields. No, don't get me wrong. I thank God for Operation Christmas Child. I thank God for all of our missionaries that are out there. But sometimes we get focused upon them and forget about our mission here at home. We still got people here that's lost and dying and going to hell. It's not hearing the Word of God because people are not concerned enough about their neighbor that we'll share it with them, that we'll tell them about the potter's house, that they can have their life made over again. They don't have to be empty inside. Thank God He will fill it up and to overflowing if they'll only go to God and let Him work on them and let Him do that. But we don't want to surrender to what God what has in store for us. It says, "Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels." I'm glad He's still working on me. There's a song that's out there, "He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be." It took Him just a week to make the moon and the stars, and I forgot the rest of it right then. But anyway, He's still working on me. Thank God He got all that completed. But let me tell you, He's still working on me daily. He's still working on you daily. He ain't give up on you. This world that we live in, it's sin cursed, and it's going to come to an end. There's going to be a new earth. There's going to be a new heaven. God told us that in His Word in Revelation. The prophecy yet to be fulfilled. But let me tell you, not just a prophecy, that's a promise of God. It's not always going to be like this. He's going to continue working on us. But let me tell you, I am going to reach a state of perfection one day because I'm going to get to go home to be in heaven with God the Father and Jesus the Son. Thank God His Holy Spirit that indwells us now and all of it gathered there together and all of us as believing saints of God that we go home. We don't go there to be angels. Thank God we're going to be in the presence of the angels singing a song of the redeemed. Thank God He's done. We're going to be through working on the sin because we're going to reach perfection. But while I'm down here, I want to go to the potter's house. I don't want Him to give up on me. I want Him to keep working on me and to make me what I ought to be. And every day He can make me just a little bit better than I was the day before. And thank God a day after that I can be a little bit better than I was today. But I want to keep going forward for God, not back up. I want to keep on spinning on those wheels for God that He can work on me. Because He worked the work upon the wheels. It said, "And the vessel that He made of the clay was marred in the hands of the potter. So He made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it." And I want to tell you something. We're blessed to be born where we're at. And thank God He gave us life and we're able to be upon this earth. At one time we was a vessel, but we was an empty vessel. And there comes a time when Jesus knocks at our heart's door. And He says, "I'm here and I stand at the door and knock." He's wanting to come in and change the vessel. One time this was a vessel filled with sin that was sending me to hell because of the sin of man. And I was destined to go to hell. But I thank God when God come and knocked at my heart's door and He drawed me into Him and Jesus came into my heart, I'm thankful that He changed my vessel. I'm thankful that He made me anew again, that He put me back on the wheels because I was marred. I wasn't worthy to stand in His presence. I wasn't worthy to go to His heaven. But thank God He put me back on the wheels and He started making me over again. And He done it with love and care as He placed me there, as I was the only one that He put me back on the wheel and He started over again. And He molded me and made me. Now I know He made me a little bit big around the middle. That's all right. I think I helped Him out there. That's all right. They said a man on the level, his bubble's in the middle. That's all right. But God's still working on me. I thank God for that. He's made me better today than I was yesterday. I was thinking about announcing my calling at the age of 25 to preach. It don't seem like it's been that long ago till I start doing the math. It's been quite a few years ago now. But I thank God He's been right there with me every step of the way. Every step of the way. March 26th of next year, if my math is right and correct, it'll be 14. Let me count that up again. No, it's longer than that. 19 years since I announced my calling to preach. And I thank God for that 19 years. Because He sure worked on me a whole lot during that time and molded me. I remember whenever they used to ask me if I had anything to say, I got up in 5 minutes, I was done. Y'all wished I was back there, don't you? Hey, God, He's been working on me. He's given me so much more to have. Yeah, so much more. Then the word of the Lord came to me saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter? Saith the Lord, behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine hands, O house of Israel. And I would say today, New Hope, that we're still in God's hands. He's still molding us and making us and using us to be what we can be for Him. There used to be a slogan there for, I believe it was the army said, be all you can be. In God's army, are you doing that? Are you being all you can be by going to God's house? Are you being all you can be by being in church on Wednesday night? Are you being all you can be by getting in the choir and singing? Are you trying to do your dead level best to be what God would have you to be? Boy, we fail. All preachers are included. Let me tell you, we fail. We're not being all that we can be. We can be so much more. We can be so much more for God. We need to strive to do that because we are in God's hands. We are the clay. He don't throw us away. O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter? America, cannot God do the same thing to us? Can He not put us back upon the wheel and mold us and shape us into the country that loves Him, that has a place for God? As the song was singing, how we fell asleep on God. We don't have room for our King. We don't have room for a God in America anymore. We think that this is supposed to be a place that we got a freedom from God instead of a freedom of serving God. We need to get back to the place of worshiping and praising Him in our homes, in our churches, in our land and country, in our White House, in our Senates, in our houses, and all the places where government officials are. They need to get back to God. And they needed vessels put back upon the wheel. At what instant I shall speak concerning the nation and concerning the kingdom, to pluck up and to pull down and to destroy it. I don't want to get to this place that God has to speak against America. I don't want to get to the place where God turns His face and has to turn His back on us because we go so far away from Him that He can't hear us because of the wickedness that's going on. There was a time when He turned His face away from His chosen people because of their disobedience and the wickedness of their hearts. There was a time when He didn't have a prophet in the land and in the nation of Israel. 400 years of silence. Is it a silent night in America? Have we got to the point where God is not dealing with the hearts of people like He one time did? Or are we just getting so calloused we won't listen and we won't heed His word? We've got fired and found the fires of trials and tribulations till our clay has become hard and set and not able to be molded into what God can use it for. Because we've got calloused and hard. If that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them. It's not too late. We've not seen the full judgment of God poured out upon us for the unrighteousness in America. We see out on the West Coast today that they're having flooding in places. Let me tell you, it's either shaking or flooding or freezing or burning. They ought to get an answer out there sometime that they need to get back to God. We see so much come out of California that people think so much of, and all the things that's out there in Hollywood and all that stuff that's going on out there and the movies they come out with and proclaim to be normal. Boy, if that's normal, I don't want to be there. I stay abnormal because I want to follow God. I want to have His presence in my life. If that's the new normal, I don't want to be normal. And at what instance I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to build and to plant it. I don't know about you, but I want to be planted by God. I want to be steadfast and established upon the foundation of the Word and upon the rock, Jesus Christ. I want a foundation that's not going to shake when the storms of life hit, that I'm able to stand. When the storms are blowing and the winds are blowing and the rains come beaten down, thank God, I want to be able to stand because I'm standing on Jesus Christ and upon His words, and I want to be rooted upon it. Let me tell you, the tallest that you can ever stand is when you're knee-deep upon the Rock of Ages, praying and believing and trusting in God. That's when you'll be your tallest in God's eyes. And at what instance I shall speak concerning a nation. Let me tell you, we see these things going on. And I shared with you there a few weeks ago about the nation of Israel. And there's not going to be peace there because there's people upon their property that God's given them. And they're still there. And there's going to be trouble and turmoil there until God comes back. And they have their nation once again. All these things that they're wanting recognized in the UN and all these other places, it ain't going to matter because God doesn't recognize that spot of ground as being Israel's, and it don't matter what man might say. It is Israel's property, and there's people that are sitting upon it that's squatting today that are on what God has promised them, and there's not going to be peace there until He is able to put them back up on their ground. And He has planted them, He has built them, and there will be a day that they possess that area because all those ones that are trespassing are going to be done away with. If I do evil, if it do evil in my sight, that it obey not my voice, then I will repent of the good wherewith I said I would benefit them. Let me tell you, in America, we've been blessed by the good that God has done for America by giving us a country that we have the freedoms to be able to stand and proclaim His goodness, to be able to preach His word, to be able to stand upon it. But we walk out upon Him so many times. We turned our back on Him so many times, and He said that the good that He's done to us, He can repent from that and also take away that good and cause us to go through a terrible times. Let me tell you, I don't know how much more work it's going to have to get before we get the picture of what's going on, that we change from our evil ways and get to following God once again. Let me tell you, we got so many freedoms today that we have taken for granted that it's always going to be like this. Let me tell you, it might not always be like this if we're not careful, if we don't continue to stand. They're taking away the religious liberties here and religious liberties there in the name of doing what's politically correct. Let me tell you, there may be people that's politically correct, but they're going to die and go to hell because nobody's telling them what's wrong with what they're doing today. The Word has already condemned it. The Word has already judged it. It's already been settled in heaven, and we don't have to pass judgment upon it. It's already been spoken against. God's already said right is right and wrong is wrong. It's time to stand back upon the Word of God and get back in line with Him and not expect Him to change for us. But let me ask you something. Are you willing to go back to the potter's house? The word came to Jeremiah, said, go back down to the potter's house and I'm going to show you that you may receive the word. We got to be willing to receive the word. We've got to be willing to receive the hand of God upon our life to mold it and make it into what we need to be. We've got to allow His love to work on the inside to keep us from crumbling from the pressure on the outside. Because if you ever watched a potter work on that clay, that's a spin. Now, I tell you, they're talented. Because I couldn't get my hand down in there the way they do that and put this one out here and be able to draw that clay up. They're talented in what they do. But there has to be an opposing force on the inside as they put pressure so it just don't wad up. Whether they've got a scraper inside that they're putting pressure on as they bring it up with their hand, or whether they got their hand on the inside, there's got to be some inward pressure and some inward force to counteract the outward force. Jesus is our inward force that lives inside to help us as the things of life come against us. And He keeps us from crumbling. But the pressures from the outside is what shapes us and molds us. And between the two of them, God uses it to make beautiful creations that can only do the job that God's got meant for you to do. You are individual. You are special. You are not made like me, and I'm not made like you, because God's got different works for all of us. But we got to be willing to let God work on our life to make it to the vessel that we need to be. Are you willing to be upon the potter's wheel this morning? Or have you been fired through the trials and tribulations of life to that you've got a stony, hard appearance that cannot be molded or made into what, reshaped, because we've got set by life? You come back to the potter and He can change it. He's the only one that can change the molecular structure of something that's hard and stony, like my heart was, and make it soft again that His word could take hold. And He can do the same for you today. He loves you. He loves you beyond measure. He loved you so much that He sent His Son Jesus to go to the cross of Calvary and die, that we can be saved, that He could work on these vessels. Jesus would know what this fleshly vessel was going through. He had all the same needs. He had all the same wants and desires of the flesh that you and I face. The difference was He was perfect. We're not. He knew the weakness of this flesh when He took it on and was clothed in it. So when we go to Him in prayer, He knows, because He's been there. He's been there. Friend, have you been to the potter's house lately? Are you willing to let Him work upon your clay? There's no better time than today to come back to the potter's house, to be put back upon the wheels that God can use you and mold you and shape you into the vessel He needs you to be. It may just be a little tweak in here and a little tweak in there. But I'd rather have a little tweak from God than to have all what Satan has to offer. A beautiful creation you are. And God wants to use you in a miraculous way to reach others, to tell them about the love of Jesus. The love of Jesus. As we stand to our feet this morning, all heads bowed, all eyes closed. God's love is real. His hand is ever present. His love never fails. Friend, this morning, if you're lost, He wants to save you before it's everlasting too late. You may say, well, I don't know how to be saved. Well, it's very simple if you get into God's Word. We always quote John 3:16. But after John 3:16, what comes? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. We like to quote that scripture, but we forget to tell people what it takes for salvation. Romans chapter 10, verse 9, it says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Not maybe so, think so, hope so. It says, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made into salvation. Friend, if you believe in your heart that Jesus came and bled and died for you, you know that you're lost and that you need a Savior because He's dealing with your heart, and you know that you're lost, but you believe in your heart that He died for you and that He would save you if you'll just ask Him to. Friend, it's an easier thing to walk and ask Him to come into your heart and confess that Jesus loves you and that He died for you and that you believe and trust in Him. But we make it so hard. We make it so hard. It says, thou shalt be saved, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. Not your righteousness, but God's righteousness. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. Salvation is nigh you in your very mouth. If you believe that Jesus died for you on the cross of Calvary, and you ask Him to come into your heart and confess your belief upon Him, solely upon His salvation, it says you shall be saved. Will you surrender this morning? You might be here and you're lost. If you believe in Him, you're not ashamed. And it's not a shame to be lost, but it's a shame to stay that way, because there's one that loves you today. Would you just lift your hand and say, preacher, I'm lost this morning. Pray for me. I want to be saved. Pray for me, preacher, that God would help my unbelief, that God would strengthen me. Christians praying everywhere. There's one here that's lost this morning. You don't have to leave that way. I want to present you with the greatest Christmas present there could ever be. I want to share Jesus with you. You think about that. There's a great gift waiting you, but you must reach out with your hands and take it. You must reach out with your heart and embrace God. Maybe you're here this morning, you say, preacher, I'm getting a hard crust on the outside. I've not got to the point yet that God can't mold me and use me. God, preacher, I don't want to be like this any longer. I want to be what God would have me to be. Would you just lift that hand, let me pray for you, that God just take you and make you and mold you and remove that hardness that's on the outside and get back to the workable clay. God bless that hand. Would there be any others anywhere? Preacher, I want that old skin that's starting on the outside to be done away with, that I can be soft and supple, that God can use me and mold me into what He would have me to be, what vessel He would have. Would there be any others? Maybe you've got a need that I've not spoken of this morning. Please bring it to the altar. Please bring it to the altar. Come back to the potter's house. Come to the potter's wheel. Bow on the altar and ask Him. Whatever your need might be, God's willing to answer. Whatever it is, just bring it to Him. If you've got someone you know that might go hungry this Christmas, someone that doesn't have money to be able to buy presents, someone that doesn't know Jesus, bring them here to this altar and ask God to save them. Ask God to give them financially what they need. Ask God to be there with them. And not just ask Him to be there with them, you be that representative of God to be there with them also. God can mold and make you into the vessel that might carry a blessing to someone else. You may be seated where you are. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father and Almighty God, we thank You that the potter's house is still open. We thank You that You're still working a work upon the wheels this morning. And God, that whenever we are marred in Your hands and in Your presence, when we have impurities that show up in the clay, God, that You are willing and able to remove that impurity, to reshape us and to remold us into what You'd have us be. And God, we see so many that are becoming great vessels for You. As the love that You have placed in our heart, dear God, pushes against the outward pressures, dear Heavenly Father, to mold and to shape, God, we thank You for that love that are filling hearts, dear Heavenly Father, to reach out to others, being examples, dear God. And I pray that You would help us to be even a greater example as we see, dear God, with our walk with You and the time that we've spent with You, God, that You continue to work on us, dear God, that You continue to make us into a vessel that is fit for Your service. God, we pray for the many, dear God, this morning that are here, that, dear Heavenly Father, represent their families and households, dear God, that You bless them in a mighty way this week. Dear God, that as we see the pressures of this life, dear God, pushing on us, that we can see Your molding and shaping hand in our life. And God, that we apply this and put it into practice, dear Heavenly Father, that we are willing to listen, dear God, in the silence for that small, still voice to speak to us. That, dear God, we just don't look for the huge things that might get praise and honor and glory from, but Lord, that we do the small things that we think no one sees and just carry them out according to Thy will. Lord, we thank You for these that have come to the altar this morning. We pray that You answer their prayers according to Thy will. Bless Your people that have gathered together this morning. Lord, we thank You for Your love and Your guidance. We thank You for the testimonies, dear God, of the word of what Samaritan's Purse and Operation Christmas Child is doing, dear God, and has done in the past, as we, dear God, think about the box numbers over the total count, Lord, for the years in the past. Dear Heavenly Father, for 100 million people that have been reached through this Operation Christmas Child, we thank You, dear God, and we pray, dear God, for their salvation. Lord, that's the most important gift of all that can be given. And Lord, we thank You that You have plenty and an ample supply for each one that will surrender. Say, Lord, here am I. Save me. Come in and change me. And I thank You for Your love. Thank You for this opportunity to be an under-shepherd. And God, for what You are able to do, not because of us, but because of You. And God, we just pray Your blessings upon each one, each family, dear God, that are bereaved, that You'll be with them in a special way this day. Go with us now and lead us and guide us, dear God, as we leave in just a few moments of time. Dear God, that we'll leave with You ever on our mind. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.